So in preparation for prayer, if you have any prayer requests that you'd like the pastoral staff to be praying for, you can fill out the little card in the back of the pew in front of you and turn it into the foyer. Or if you're one of our online members, you can go to our website at saccentral.org and go to the Contact Us link dropdown and select prayer requests from there. As far as you are able, please kneel for prayer.
Lord, thank you so much for, again, bringing us all together. Lord, we are yours. We ask that you guide us in our lives and help us in every decision that we make, Lord. Please be with us in this service and everything that we do. Bless those viewers who, for the first time, may be watching and listening to your word through the media, Lord, and all of us that are sitting here as well, Lord. We just love you. We pray that you guide us with your Holy Spirit. Always, Lord, please bless the tithes and the offerings, each and every person that is going to be participating today, as well as Pastor Fred, who is going to be speaking about the great sacrifice that that your son Jesus did for us, as well as that he is risen and you are living God, Lord. So we just thank you so much for everything that you do for us, and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
like any other king. Most kings dress in royal robes, rich and luxurious, intentionally different than the daily dress of their people. This king took off his royal robes and dressed himself in our flesh and blood. He put on the simple garments of the poor so that he could feel exactly how they feel. He had no palace, no throne, no wealth or power. But when the humble saw how great and kind he was, they loved him and joyfully praised him and asked him to be their king.
Is now the man of sorrows. The son of righteousness is shrouded in blackness. Our tiny human candle of justice, kindness, and enlightenment has been snuffed out by the raging storm of our bitterness and anger. There he hangs, our self-giving creator, engulfed at noonday in the midnight of our sins. His searing pain, physical, emotional and spiritual, is the awful fruit of our twisted self-covetousness. For each of us, the truth is this: the death that grips him now is the punishment of our sins.
Oh,
the story of Jesus is the story of a sacrifice.
We cannot imagine all that King Jesus did for us. We have never seen the beauty he gave up, the warmth of the light, the perfect joy, the unbroken peace, the rich, all-engulfing love. And we will never experience what he suffered. Stop for a moment and simply look up at him. See his body, bloodied and broken. Look into his face, disfigured by pain and cruel abuse. What do you wish to say to your king? Thank you. The story of Jesus is a story of love.
See him there, the transcendent God in all his magnificence, all the passion of his love, all the perfection of his wisdom, all the power of his sovereignty joined together to will and to accomplish this one thing, our eternal oneness with him. Look at his life. Look at his death. Listen to the gasp of his dying words. He loves us. With all he is, this suffering Savior, he loves us.
Thank you.
The death of Jesus is the story of a life.
Without our Creator's life springing up within us, our existence is only physical, brief, and shallow. When our bodies die, so does all our hope. But in love, the King of Life died our death. Now the boundless, beautiful, irrepressible life of God is our life. We are alive in Him, deeply, fully, now and forever.
Glory, hallelujah.
Jesus is a wondrous mystery.
We do not yet see the answers to all our questions, but we see Jesus. All God has been doing through all time is complete in Jesus Christ. In Him, all God's promises are fulfilled. In Him, we share in the riches of God's wisdom, His holiness, His glory, and His love.
Jesus will soon return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will come again because he came the first time. That first coming, the great sacrifice of Jesus, is the guarantee. Jesus' intense suffering didn't begin at the cross. Jesus' intense suffering began in Gethsemane. Bearing the weight of the sins of the lost world was overwhelming him, and it was the sense of losing his Father's acceptance which rent his heart with such piercing agony and forced from his brow great drops of blood, which rolling down his pale cheeks fell to the ground, moistening the earth. Imagine the holy angels watching this. As Jesus prayed, "Oh my Father, let this cup pass away from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done." We can only faintly grasp the anguish of God's dear Son in Gethsemane. As Jesus realized his separation from his Father in consequence of taking on man's sin. Could mortals have viewed the amazement and the sorrow of the angelic host as they watched in silent grief the Father separating his beams of light, love, and glory from the beloved Son of his bosom? If mortals could understand this, if they could see it, if they could have seen the look on the angels' faces, we would better understand how offensive sin is in the sight of a holy God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He bore insult. He bore mockery and shameful abuse until his visage was so marred more than any man and his form more than the sons of men. Who can comprehend the love here displayed? The angelic host behold with wonder and grief him who had been the majesty of heaven and who had worn the crown of glory, now wearing a crown of thorns, a bleeding victim to the rage of an infuriated mob, fired to insane madness by the wrath of Satan. Why did Jesus go through with it? Nothing could have induced Christ to leave his honor and majesty in heaven and come to a sinful world to be neglected, despised, and rejected by those he came to save and finally suffer upon the cross, but, nothing but, eternal redeeming love, which will ever remain a mystery. Christ, the precious Son of God, was led forth and the cross was laid on his shoulders. At every step was left blood which flowed from his wounds. Thronged by an immense crowd of bitter enemies and unfeeling spectators, he is led away to the crucifixion. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. While the nails were being driven through his hands and the sweat drops of agony forced from his pores, from the pale, quivering lips of the innocent sufferer, a prayer of pardoning love was breathed for his murderers. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All heaven was gazing with profound interest upon the scene. The glorious Redeemer of a lost world was suffering the penalty of man's transgression of his Father's law. He was about to ransom his people with his own blood. Oh, was there ever suffering and sorrow like that endured by the dying Savior? It was a sense of his father's displeasure which made his cup so bitter. It was not bodily suffering which so quickly ended the life of Christ upon the cross. It was the crushing weight of the sins of the world and a sense of his father's wrath. The father's glory and sustaining presence had left him. And despair pressed its crushing weight of darkness upon him and forced from his pale and quivering lips the anguished cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Human beings had no compassion. But nature responded to its creator. And angels felt it deeply. Nature groans in sympathy with her bleeding, dying author. The earth trembles. The sun refuses to behold the scene. The heavens gather blackness. Angels have witnessed the scene of suffering until they can look no longer and hide their faces from the horrid sight. Christ is dying. He is in despair. His Father's approving smile is removed, and angels are not permitted to lighten the gloom of this terrible hour. They can only behold in amazement their loved commander, the majesty of heaven, suffering the penalty of man's transgression of the Father's law. What was Christ's greatest suffering? Christ's keenest anguish was a sense of his Father's displeasure because he really identified with all our sins and took them upon himself. His mental agony, because of this, was of such intensity that man cannot have anything but a faint conception of it. Think about this. If the sufferings of Christ consisted in physical pain alone, then his death was no more painful than that of some of the martyrs in history. But bodily pain was but a small part of the agony of God's dear Son. The sins of the world were upon him, also the sense of his Father's wrath as he suffered the penalty of the law transgressed. It was these that crushed his divine soul. It was the hiding of his Father's face, a sense that his own dear Father had forsaken him, which brought despair. Think back on the angels here. There were evil ones there too. Legions of evil angels were all about the Son of God. Yet holy angels were bidden not to break their ranks, and they couldn't engage in the conflict with the taunting, reviling foes. Heavenly angels were not permitted to minister unto the anguished spirit of the Son of God. And it was in this terrible hour of darkness, the face of his Father hidden, legions of angels enshrouding him, the sins of the world upon him, that the words were wrenched from his lips. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus was near death, he exclaimed, "It is finished." The angels understood these words, and it totally changed. They began to rejoice because they understood that the atoning sacrifice for man's sin has now been accomplished. It has been carried out. It has been a success. Imagine what follows. You know, Jesus commends his spirit to God, his last breath, and then he is put in Joseph's tomb, and he rested over the Sabbath hours. A Roman guard was placed at the tomb, 100 men. A host of evil angels were also gathered there, determined to never see him come out. But a heavenly host surrounded the sepulcher. Angels that excel in strength were guarding the tomb and waiting to welcome the Prince of Life. The angels know what's coming. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord ascended from heaven. Clothed with the panoply of God, this angel left the heavenly courts. The bright beams of God's glory went before him and illuminated his pathway like a meteor coming down from space. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, priests and rulers, where is the power of your guard? Brave soldiers that have never been afraid of human power are now as captives taken without a sword or a spear. The face they look upon is not the face of a mortal warrior. It is the face of the mightiest of the Lord's hosts. This messenger is he who fills the position from which Satan fell. It is he who on the hills of Bethlehem proclaimed the Messiah's birth. The earth trembles at his approach. The hosts of darkness flee. As he rolls away the stone, heaven seems to have come down to earth. The soldiers see him removing the stone as if it were a light pebble. And they hear him cry, "Son of God, come forth!" And the Father calls thee. And they see Jesus come forth from the grave, and they hear him proclaim over the rent sepulcher, "I am the resurrection and the life." As he comes forth in majesty and glory, the angel hosts bow low in adoration before the Redeemer and welcome him with songs of praise. Can you imagine that song? At the death of Jesus, the soldiers had beheld the earth wrapped in darkness at midday. But at the resurrection, they saw the brightness of the angels illuminate the night and heard the inhabitants of heaven singing with great joy and triumph, "Thou hast vanquished Satan and the powers of darkness. Thou hast swallowed up death in victory." This is what the angels are singing. Christ came forth from the tomb glorified, and the Roman guard beheld him. Their eyes were riveted upon the face of him whom they had so recently mocked and derided. In this glorified being, they beheld the prisoner whom they had seen in the judgment hall, the one for whom they had plaited a crown of thorns. This was the one who had stood unresisting before Pilate and before Herod, his form lacerated by the cruel scourge. It was he who had been nailed to the cross, at whom the priests and rulers, full of self-satisfaction, had wagged their heads, saying, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." This was he who had been laid in Joseph's new tomb. The decree of heaven had loosed the captive. Mountains piled upon mountains over his sepulcher could not have prevented him from coming forth. At the sight of the angels and the glorified Savior, the Roman guard had fainted and fell as dead men. These soldiers would never forget what they had seen. That would have been impossible. And because Jesus lives now, we can handle anything that comes today, and we can face tomorrow. We have a living Savior who's our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, and he's here for us. Jesus will soon come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Redeemed, how I long to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed. proclaim it. He's child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song.
With a coronation.
Just look at him now. The man of sorrows is now the Lord of Lords. The dying lamb is now the risen, glorified, all-conquering king. Remember all he was and see all he is. So come to him, bow to him, worship, praise, and adore him. Crown him your Lord and crown him your king. Praise you for the gift of a Savior. We thank you that he who stretched out the heavens by the word of his mouth, your Son Jesus Christ, came down to this world to become one with us, to live with us, to die for us, to give us a hope, an eternal hope. Thank you for such a priceless and such a precious gift. We praise you today that we have been able in our frail human way, to return thanks to you. We praise you, Father, for you are worthy. We give you our hearts. We give you our lives. We thank you that we have a hope and we rejoice in that today. And we give all the glory and all the praise to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.